I was recently in Poland helping run a trip over there, a tour. So some of the references that I'm going to be making, now you'll understand them. The Ramah, whose yard site will be in about 30 days from now, Nifter on Lag BaOmer, actually authored 33 Svarim. Sefer, which is most known, is his Mapa, his Agolos, and the Shulchan Aruch. However, there's a Sefer that he wrote which is not as well known. It's called Mechir Yayin. Mechir Yayin is a parish of his on Megillas Esther. And the reason it's called Mechir Yayin is he writes in the Hakdama over there that where he was, I assume the place was at the time Krakow, there was a plague. So he had to leave the town, and on Purim, he was in another town somewhere, and that other place, there was no food, certainly no wine, and the Ramah thought to himself, how is he going to celebrate Simchas Purim? So the Ramah sat down and authored an entire Sefer on that day. He wrote the Sefer Mechir Yayin, his Perush on Megillas Esther, and that would be his Simchas Purim. And that was the price of wine, the Mechir Yayin. Now he writes over there, this is a very interesting Perush, because the Perush is based on, as he brings in Hakdama, a Zohar Kaddish. And the Zohar tells us that there are so many layers, and there is so much depth to all of the Mikra, all of Tanakh, that there are so many layers that don't think us v'sham to think that it's just everything is kipshuto, but there are so many deeper layers beyond that, and therefore there are so many things that happen in Tanakh which are making reference to all kinds of midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramah writes a sefer where each of the characters in the Megillah represents different midos, different Yitzhara, so on and so forth. That is his perish on Megillah Esther. The Nesivos, Rav Yaakov Elisa, famously known for his parish on the Shulchan Aruch, Nesivos Mishpat, Arachosha Mishpat. The Nesivos, he has a parish on Shir HaShirim called Tzror HaMor. And in the introduction to the Sefer, he also brings his Zohar HaKadosh. And he tells us that this applies to other Sforim, it certainly applies to Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, there is so much depth to it. Chazal refers to Shir HaShirim as Kodesh Kadoshim. All the Shiros of Hashem, they are Kodesh. But the Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadoshim. And the Chazal tells us, and Rashi brings it in his Akdama to Shir HaShirim, that the whole world is kedai to be around for the sake of Shir HaShirim. And Rav Yaakov Melissa, the Nesivos, brings over there how there is so much depth to Shir HaShirim. That's why we have so many different explanations of what the Sefer is referring to. The Malbim has an explanation, which is aside from his shot, he has a deeper explanation, is referring to getting how to get Nevuah, the process in getting Nevuah. Rashi tells us that is the whole history of the Jewish people from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim until ultimately the final Geula. The Rambam tells us, famously in Hilchos Teshuvah, in the last parak, he tells us this is the archetype for the Choylas Ava, for that special relationship, being lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's all expressed, he says, all of Shir HaShirim is a mashal for this Ava. Rashi tells us in the Hakdama that this Sefer is all about Yiras Shemayim. There are so many different explanations to the Sefer. This evening, time permitted, I would like to speak about three different stuff. Let's begin with the first pasuk. The first pasuk I'd like to speak about, which is the second pasuk in the Sefer. The pasuk says, well known, Yishakeini minishikos piyu, ki tazun dodecha miyayin. He should kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Because your belovedness is greater to me than wine. Now, you'll notice in the beginning of the pasuk, it begins third person, and it continues second person. But he should kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, because your belovedness is greater to me than wine. So the Rashbam already in his Perush and Megillah Shir HaShirim, he already explains that many times we have the say for somebody is talking to other people, and then they're talking to their beloved one. So we have this back and forth. However, let's take a look at Rashi says over here. First, I want to talk about the second half of the pasuk. Ki tazun dodecha miyayin, because your belovedness to me is greater than wine. Your belovedness to me is greater than wine. Who's wine? The wine of the Ramah. The Ramah, he wrote his Perush, a Megillas Esther, Mechir Yayin. He had no gashmius over there. He had no food. He had no wine. His gishmak in Torah That was his Simchas Purim. Rashi over here tells us that Yayin is either a reference to Suda, like we find in Mishnah Yayin in Megillas Esther, or it is a reference to Tanugim. It's a reference to pleasure, as we find different sukkim that Rashi brings from Yeshaya. The idea over here in the Pasuk is telling us is that all those gishmak things that there are in the world, those pleasures that are out there, there's something which is more pleasurable to me, and that's Dodecha. Hashem, your Dodecha, that beats out everything. And how Levi can have that? And Rashi now tells us what's the beginning of the Pasuk referring to. Yishakinim and Shitas Pihu. We want Hashem to kiss us pal pal, like we had at Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, there were tremendous Giluyim. And now what we're saying is, Rashi tells us an unbelievable thing. And I'll read the words to you. Rashi says, Umusachim Yito, Lahosia Oid Alehem Levire Lehem, so did Tamel, Rashi tells us there's going to be a gilui la'asim lavoi, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal to us the depths of the Torah. All the hidden things in the Torah, Hashem is going to now, there's going to come a time where just like there was a gilui of Matan Torah, where Hashem spoke to us peh peh, He will again speak to us and He will now reveal to us all those hidden depths of the Torah. And that's what the Pasuk is referring to over here. When I saw this Rashi, it reminds me of another Rashi. There's a Rashi and a Pasuk that we all know. And Rashi over there, based on Targum Yonasan, says that HaKadosh Baruch is going to reveal to us all those sodos of the Torah which were lost through Golas Bavel. We were in Golas Bavel, we lost sodos of the Torah. And now that's very similar to something the Mabit says in the Sefer Beis Elokim. The Mabit writes that every time that you find in the Chumash the mention of a nation, we actually had a Mesorah all about that nation. There is so much Mesorah that we had in every word of the Chumash. He said, however, as we would go through the Golas, we wouldn't be able to hold on to all that Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore, what was relevant to us, Halakha L'maisa, we retain. However, the depth of the Torah was given to us. But we don't still have that. But one day, we will have that. That's Yishakini Mishikos Pi. We're returning to Hashem and say, Hashem, as much Torah as we can get, there is so much depth to the Torah, we want all of it. We're looking forward to that day we can have maximized our potential to understand the Torah. Ki Tovin Dodecha Miyayim. And that fits very well with what we said about Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, there's so much depth. There is beyond what we understand. As the Nesiva says, there are levels of Shir HaShirim that we cannot understand right now. Be'ezat Hashem, one day we will understand that. Before I explain the next pasuk I want to talk about, I'm going to challenge you on your trivia. Does anybody know who Jan Livach was? Jan Livach. Jan Livach, you'll be familiar with what he accomplished, but you just don't know the name behind it. Jan Livach was a Polish blacksmith who was a very early inmate in Auschwitz. In fact, his number was 1,010. The Germans, the Nazis, the maximum, they had him design the gates over Auschwitz. And he famously designed it, well, this is what they told him to write, cynically, Arbeit macht frei, that work makes you free. Parenthetically, we also believe that. Ein ben Torah, ein ben Chorin el amisha oisit b'Torah. Who's a real ben Chorin? Who's a real free person? One who's oisip a Torah. Close parenthesis. He designed this gate. And you've probably all seen pictures of this gate. But what you may not have noticed is that the B in Arbeit macht frei is upside down. It's a capital B. Normally, in a capital B, the smaller arch, I guess, is on the top, and the larger one is on the bottom. However, if you look carefully at the picture, you'll notice that it's upside down. The larger part is on the top, and the smaller part is on the bottom. And it wasn't a mistake. He did it on purpose. He purposely changed, he flipped the B upside down as a form of resistance. That you don't have total control over us. Now he actually survived. He died in 1980. I assume he wasn't a Jew, at least I hope he wasn't a Jew, because after he survived the war, he designed something for the church. But he famously wrote Arbeit macht frei, and he put the B upside down as a form or a resistance against the Nazi oppression. hold on to that thought. The next pasuk I want to speak about is a pasuk that says, Roshay Kesem Poz, his head is a special type of gold. Kivutzoysov Taltalim, his locks hang down. Shechayris Kairev, they are black like a raisin. This is a description of the Beloved One, of Dodi. In Shir HaShirim you find, there's a description of Klal Yisrael, which Hashem gives to us, and there's a description that we have of Hashem. Rashi points out that the description that Hashem has of us starts with the feet going up. And the description we have of Hashem is with the head going down. And Rashi tells us the reason is because Hashem is trying to bring us up, and we are trying to bring Hashem down to us. So the description we have of Hashem, or of the Mashal, or the description of the Torah, as Rashi says, is that his head is gold. And Rashi says, what does it mean that his head is gold? And Rashi tells us that his head is gold. The first thing about Hashem was gold. The first thing about Hashem was gold. What was that first thing? The first thing was his introduction of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That was gold. That's gold. What's gold about that? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Before I tell you what Rashi says, if I were to ask you to translate the Aseret HaDibros, you might mistakenly translate them as the Ten Commandments. That's a mistranslation. How do I know it's a mistranslation? Because there are more than Ten Commandments in the Aseret HaDibros. Shabbos has two right there. Alos HaSein and Aseh. So there's more than Ten Commandments in the Aseret HaDibros. But the first one of the Aseret HaDibros stands out. It's quite unique because it doesn't say to do anything. It says, Anokei Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzivtecha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim, and it doesn't say what you're supposed to do. And there are about six shitos rishonim what this first Hebrew is. The Arbab now brings six shitos. There are those who say, like the Smak, that it's a mitzvah to believe in Hashkacha Brotos. Anokhi Hashem Lokecha, Asher Tzivtecha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim, I'm involved in your life. There are those that just say for Ikrim Mahold, no, it's a mitzvah to believe in the divinity of Torah. That who is the one who's giving you the Torah? Anokhi Hashem Lokecha. However, the Rambam famously says, at least at first glance, that the mitzvah is a munah in Hashem. Anokhi Hashem Lokecha, believe in Hashem. However, there are those who showed him, like the Or Hashem, Rav Chassei Kreskot, who challenged that. How could you have a mitzvah like that? Meaning, a mitzvah is not a good deed. A mitzvah is a commandment. If you have a commandment, that means you're assuming there's a commander who's giving you the commandment. So how can I have a mitzvah to believe in that commander? If I have a mitzvah, I've accepted the fact that I have a mitzvah, it's axiomatic. I've assumed already that there is a commander giving this mitzvah. So how could the mitzvah be to believe in that commander? However, the Malbim explains the Rambam. And not only does the Malbim explain the Rambam, but the Rambam mostly explains the Rambam. Because the Rambam in the Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah explains that that's not what the mitzvah is. It's not just emunah. Imagine for a moment you're daydreaming right now. Imagine for a moment you're daydreaming. And you have such a sophisticated imagination that you have a whole world in your head. And you have commerce going on. You have this whole society going on over there. And all of a sudden, you get a phone call from your wife. What happens to that world? It disappears. What happens to you? Nothing. Because that whole world is dependent upon you willing into existence every moment. As soon as you have a hesed hadas and that world is gone, and yet nothing happens to you. Because you, vis-a-vis your world, are independent, and your world, vis-a-vis you, is dependent. It is entirely dependent on your will, and you are not dependent upon that world. And in Hashem's case, He's not dependent upon anything. The mitzvah Anochi Hashem Elokecha is to understand about Hashem that He is different than every other metzias. Hashem is the only thing which is what's called a mechuyev metzias or a mukhrach metzias. He has to be. Everything else could be, could not be. Hashem has to. And that's why He has no beginning, because He has to be. And since He's not dependent on anything, that's why He has no end, because there's nothing which is maintaining Him. Hashem is the only thing that has to be, as the Rambam says, that's what it means, Hashem Elokim Emes. He is the real Emes. There is no other reality other than Him. He is the reality. That is, the mitzvah Anochi Hashem Elokecha is to understand this about Hashem, that He is entirely independent. Yes, there are others who are cholik on the Rambam. The Bahag writes, Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not a mitzvah.
Anokhi Hashem Elokecha is an introduction to mitzvah.
And there is a medrash. And Rashi,
and Shir HaShirim, brings this medrash. And this is the Kesem Tahor, this is the Rosh Hashanah Kesem Paz. The golden head, the golden beginning of Hashem is, as Chazal, the Mechilta brings a statement, brings a mashal. A king comes to a certain town, and they say to him, "Vigozer aleinu gezeros, put gezeros upon us." And he says, before you accept my gezeros, first you have to accept my malchus. Before you could talk about mitzvah, before you could talk about the rest of the aseres adibros, you have to first set up the ikur. And the ikur is Kabbalas ol malchus. Once I have Kabbalas ol malchus, now I can talk about gezeros. Now I can talk about mitzvah. Once I've said, oh, that there is an authority over me, and I have to listen to her authority, I have to obey what he says, everything that he says, then afterward I can talk about what he demands of me. That's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is broader than just a mitzvah. It is the basis for everything. And that's why it is the Rosh Kesem Paz. It is the golden beginning, because it sets everything else up. And in fact, if you think about it, the way the Shas opens up is with Kriya Shema, with Kabbalah Zamach HaShemayim. The first thing that a bar mitzvah boy does is Kabbalah Zamach HaShemayim, with the beginning of Kriya Shema. And that's why we have Kriya Shema as Kabbalah Zamach HaShemayim, and then afterward we have Kabbalah Zamach Mitzvahs. And maybe that's also why we have Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur, because we have Kabbalah Zamach HaShemayim and Rosh Hashanah, and after we can speak about the Averis, particular things we're doing wrong throughout the rest of the course of Yasser Simei Tshuva. But first, you need the Tshuva on the Kabbalah Zamach HaShemayim. We mentioned Jan Livach. We mentioned Arbit Machfrei. We mentioned the Upside Down B. The Upside Down B in Arbit Machfrei represents resistance. It's just an upside down B. What type of resistance is that? It's a small nuance. Yet you see from here an unbelievable thing. You see that one small change in a detail, which is done bedavka, is already throwing off the old. It already says that you don't have total shlita over me. And when we think lahavdil of the Kabbalah Omach HaShemayim, the Kabbalah Omach HaShemayim is an entire package. That means if a person throws off, forget just the mitzvah, which is called the Mumer L'Davar Echad, according to Rabbi Yonah, but even if he specifically undermines the detail, or is mezalzel in the detail of the mitzvahs, even if he changes one small B, that's already a resistance to the Kabbalah Omach HaShemayim. That's a powerful thought for us to take with us. When we realize how much are we mezalzel chas v'shalom in any halachos, do we not give it the proper significance that it deserves? To be or not to be, that's the question. Do we do that? The last pasuk I want to speak about is a pasuk, Hishmati eschem benos Yerushalayim, im timtzu'u es dodi, ma tagidu loy, ki shechol es ahava ani. Kaisel are speaking to the other nations of Israel. Hishmati eschem benos Yerushalayim. I'm making you Benos Yerushalayim. Rashi tells us Benos Yerushalayim is ultimately Yerushalayim will be a metropolitan for many other nations. I'm speaking to the other nations over here, the Benos Yerushalayim, and I'm telling them, I've gone through a long galus, and I've gone through tzaros at your hands. We've gone through Nebuchadnezzar. We've gone through Titus. We've gone through Haman. We've gone through so many tzaros, and I want you to bear witness for me in Timtzu Ezoidi. When you find my beloved, when you find the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Asad Lavo, I want each and every one of you to stand up and give testimony. Shecholas ahava ani. That I've gone through sickness. I've gone through illness. I've gone through pain. I've gone through suffering for the sake of Avos Hashem. I've gone through all kinds of tzaros. I've gone through the Inquisition. I've gone through pogroms. I've gone through so much. I went through all kinds of sickness, illness, suffering, sorrows. And yet, my love still stands for Hashem. That's the Choyles Ava. The Choyli that I've gone through because of my Ava. I want you to bear witness. Today, we're not living through pogroms. But who's going to bear witness for us today? Yes, we have the Agam Burgers, who they're going to be able to have those people testify on their behalf that they kept mitzvahs despite their suffering. But who else? If you're a standard person, who's going to bear witness for us? Who's going to bear witness for the koshi, the difficulties, the challenges? Who's going to bear witness? Maybe today,
our screens will bear witness. Maybe they'll bear witness. Maybe our clocks and how we use our time. Maybe the pavement, as we keep our eyes to the pavement as we walk along. Maybe they'll bear witness for us. But every person has to think, who are my witnesses going to be? And I want to end off with one thing, a powerful idea. Rabbi Nachum Zemba, who died in the Warsaw Uprising, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. He was killed by the Nazis. The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising took place in Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Nachum Zemba, a double adar, he told everybody to have a kizayis of matzah on you ready. Because you don't know where you're going to be Leila Seder. So don't forget your kizayis of matzah. Have it ready with you. This is what he was thinking. Baruch Hashem, today's day and age, we don't have to hide our matzahs. We don't have to hide them on as we're running away. But we have to appreciate the mitzvahs that we have to understand what that means to have a kizayis of matzah. What that means to perform a mitzvah with our challenges. Imtimtu as doidi matagidu loy shechoylas ava ani.